Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, clear breaking news, culture, mediatic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. Speaking about that, first of all, we had some awesome guests coming today. We have Nick and Jaron from Luxor Mining Pool. So we're going to talk about mining and ordinals, which I think is really interesting. But also, Nick Carter released his piece, and the name of the piece I think is fascinating. It's called Operation Choke Point 2.0 is underway. And Bitcoin and shitcoin is in its crosshairs. And basically, it outlines that the Biden administration has this coordinated ongoing effort across virtually every U.S. financial regulator to deny Bitcoin and shitcoin firms access to banking services. So it's kind of a continuation of this pattern that we've been covering, right? So we covered yesterday, right, the Fed's attempt at being hostile towards the industry. And then the first sign of this happening, though, was the rumblings coming out of Binance that they were stopping U.S. dollar transfers. So it's interesting, right? It's interesting the direction that this is going. But I mean, this is the separation of money and state after all. What did you expect? So we're going to get through all that. But first, before we start the show, I want to bring up our very special guests, Nick and Jaron from Luxor. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great.
Glad to be here.
Happy to have you guys on the show once again. And of course, my legendary co-host, always optimistic. How you doing, Opti?
I am doing wonderful today. It's a beautiful Thursday out here. It's no longer raining, so I feel good. You know, I rise with the environment and the weather around here. And of course, we get to talk Bitcoin every day, Nico. So it's and we're getting trolled already in the YouTube chat. So it's a good morning. It's a good morning, man.
It would not be simply if we were not getting trolled in the YouTube chat. Is it Nihilus Fields? Is that who we're talking about?
Yeah, but he's got a new name today. But I'm going to wait for you to figure it out later. So let's keep it moving.
No, you can't let Nico. Okay, hold on. Nico Jones, PhD. The P stands for. Oh, man. For anyone who doesn't know, check out yesterday's episode where we go in depth about that word propaganda. Anyways,
I triggered Nico.
You did. I was triggered. Anyways, everybody, let's start the show. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, everybody, I want to tell you guys about Bitcoin 2023. It's going to be the largest Bitcoin conference and celebration on planet Earth. 30,000 people went last year to Miami Beach, May 18th through the 20th. You can use the promo code SIMPLY to get a discount on your tickets. It's going to be absolutely bonkers, guys. You don't want to miss this. Of course, Opti and I are going to be there. Speaker list includes Michael Saylor, Lynn Alden, Alex Gladstein, Matt Odell, Corey Clipston, Stacey Herbert, Robert Breedlove, and many, many more. Guys, don't want to miss it and take advantage of the promo code SIMPLY, and you get 10% discount on your Bitcoin 2023 tickets. Anyways, everybody, let's check out the Bitcoin price at the time of recording is 22,570 sats per dollar, 4,431 block height, 775,762 reachable Bitcoin nodes, 14,395 blocks to the halving, 64,238 halving estimate, April 24, 2024, total Lightning Network capacity, 5,372 capacity value, $121 million realized monetary inflation. Bitcoin continues to take fiat currencies to absolute school, 1.76%, and the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $435 billion with a B. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is still a tiny baby. Anyways, this is the separation of money and state after all. And I suspect as Bitcoin continues to grow in market cap, you're going to see these lively discussions seep into the political sphere. Just a quick recap. Do you guys remember Justin Trudeau was throwing jabs at his future political opponent, who was a huge advocate of Bitcoin. And to, you know, just to paraphrase it, he's like, Pierre Poilievre was recommending that people buy Bitcoin to opt out of inflation. How hysterical is that? Well, it looks like in the Congress equivalent, the Canadian Parliament, Bitcoin was brought up once again. Anyways, I'm going to play the clip and then we'll all talk about it. Let's check it out.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I heard my honorable colleague start off his speech talking about Bitcoin. Well, I'd like to remind him, Mr. Speaker, that Bitcoin has increased in value by 37% in the last month. Just to let him know that.
What amazes me in the question, Mr. Speaker, is he brought up Bitcoin. He says, you know, it's gone up in the last month by, I think, 30 percentage points. So do we have the Conservative Party now once again encouraging people to invest in cryptocurrency?
He's talking.
That seems to me what the member is suggesting. Mr. Speaker, there were thousands of people that lost their life savings because of cryptocurrency, and they're jumping back onto that bandwagon. How ludicrous is that, Mr. Speaker? Is this the type of policy advice that the Conservative Party is coming up with? Today, it's get rid of the price on pollution because they don't give a darn about our environment. They don't care about the rebates that Canadians are receiving, especially at a time of inflation. And by the way, buy more cryptocurrency, Mr. Speaker. Wow.
Dude, fascinating. And I'm telling you, like, this will continue to escalate. Now, what was interesting at the very end of that, though, is like, especially in these trying times of inflation, right? It's so fascinating, the cognitive dissonance. I really suspect this will continue to be brought up. But look, that politician who he didn't say crypto, he said Bitcoin. He'll be vindicated. Right, he'll be vindicated in the next halving cycle when Nayib Bukele and Michael Saylor get vindicated as well. So I mean, you could bash it all you want now, right? But you know, over time, Bitcoin's going to do its thing. Number go up, technology is going to do its thing. So I mean, how long could they keep up that narrative, right? Because look, they're starting to say this now. In 4 years, that guy's going to be proven right. It's not going to be 30%. It's going to be 100% plus. Right. So what's the argument against Bitcoin then? Right. There really isn't going to be one. Right. So, you know, you still have to live through it. You still have to witness this, but it's absolutely fascinating. Right. This is the separation of money and state. You're witnessing it firsthand. You're living through these times and it's absolutely fascinating. Anyways, Nick, I want to get your thoughts. I mean, is this noise to you, bro? I feel like you have a lot of other things going on nowadays.
Yeah, I would say it's mostly just noise for me. Politicians love to talk about this industry from a position of knowledge that they don't have. And so with that, I generally don't really listen to what they have to say. It's just one of those things where, you know, it's the topic of the day. So off they go. And, you know, someday, like you said, we'll be vindicated. And it doesn't really matter what they say right now. We're on the right track. So.
100%. We're on the right track. Bitcoin is doing its thing. TikTok next block. Jaron, what are your thoughts on that, man?
Yeah, I agree with Nick here. I usually don't care that much about politicians, what they say about Bitcoin, unless they're trying to like increase power taxes on Bitcoin miners or something, because that, of course, hurts the industry directly. But in the long term, of course, Bitcoin is going to they can't ban it anyway, so they can't really do anything about it. So it's, for me, it's just funny to see them freak out about it like that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely great. You know the meme with the guy with the popcorn and he's just like leaning back into his seat. That's what I feel like Bitcoiners are doing right now. Or that other meme where it's like these two people fighting and there's like this person hitting a bong in the back. Those are Bitcoiners right now. Anyways, just witnessing this stuff. That is the embodiment of fiat. That is the embodiment of fiat politics. That's what I'm witnessing. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, first and foremost, just like, bro, lol, are you kidding me? Like, that video was amazing. Cry harder, politicians. I couldn't have laughed harder. You guys couldn't see me behind the scenes, but I was laughing extremely hard at that clip. First off, I was reminded of The Princess Diary. He was that one guy, like, I forget what the guy's name is and I forget what the meme is, but I mean, it's hilarious that they continuously use the like volatility FUD to make Bitcoin seem like it's not what it is. And again, it's like Nico said, you know, in time we will be vindicated and we'll look back on this and it'll be one of those memes where it's like, oh yeah, remember the things we see on Twitter? It's like, oh, I sold my Bitcoin. It went up to $8. And now I wish I never sold those Bitcoin. That it's like, this is where we're going to be in a few years. This is going to be one of those funny ones. Like, oh, it's only up 30%. Yeah. Okay. It's been up a lot since then. Anyways, cry harder, politicians.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's fun to watch. But hey, look, I think that piece of news was definitely noise. But during the news segment, that was a bit of entertainment. That was the comedic relief, because we are going to get into something that's a little bit more serious. And I'm extremely curious to hear what the CEO of a mining pool thinks about all this news. Anyways, everybody, and of course, Jaren, and of course, Opti. Anyways, everybody, let's get some news. Let's do this.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody. So this is a separation of money and state, and you can make the argument this is state fighting back. This is something that we've been covering over the last couple of months, but we've continuously been given the benefit of the... We've been giving the benefit of the doubt and saying, okay, you know, maybe this is just... maybe this is just, you know, naivety. Maybe they're just not educated on the particular subject. But I think that the Elizabeth Warren bill that was introduced by Elizabeth Warren and Senator Marshall really revealed what they want, right? Or at least, you know, that sect of politicians. So this is a Biden administration. This is an article by Finbold. That's not the one I'm going to get into. I really want to focus on the Nick Carter one. And I want to take advantage of the guests that we have today to get their thoughts on this. But just the quick headline is Biden administration contemplates forcing Bitcoin miners to reveal pollution data. Is it really about pollution? And remember, when the digital assets framework executive order, which was released by the Biden administration, in that executive order, they would be setting conditions and standards for the Bitcoin mining industry that no other industry has to adhere to, including gold mining, which you can make the argument is more damaging to the environment. So the case that I have, the argument that I have for you guys, is this really about the environment, or is this about maintaining the privilege or maintaining the power over money? Is that what it's about? So I was waiting for this to come out, and this is something that I mentioned yesterday, but the article didn't come out yet. And this is a piece by Nick Carter. This is the name of the piece, which I said in the beginning of the show. Operation Choke Point 2.0 is underway, and crypto is in its crosshairs. The article goes on to say, we began as a trickle, is now a flood. And we've been covering this trickle. Like, you start noticing little patterns, and you're like, oh, wait a second, what's going on? Anyways, goes on to say the U.S. government is using the banking sector to organize a sophisticated, widespread crackdown against the Bitcoin and shitcoin industry. And the administration's efforts are no secret. They're expressed plainly in memos, regulatory guidelines, and blog posts. However, the breadth of this plan, spanning virtually every financial regulator, as well as its highly coordinated nature, has even the most steely-eyed crypto veterans nervous that the crypto businesses might end up completely unbanked. Stablecoins may be stranded and unable to manage flows in and out of crypto, and exchanges might be shut down from the banking system entirely. Let's dig in. For crypto firms, obtaining access to onshore banking system has always been a challenge. Even today, crypto startups struggle mightily to get banks, and only a handful of boutiques serve them. This is why stablecoins like Tether found popularity early on, to facilitate fiat settlement where the rails of traditional banking were unavailable. However, in recent weeks, the intensity of efforts to ring fence the entire crypto space and isolate it from traditional banking system have ratcheted up significantly. Especially the Biden administration is now executing what appears to be a coordinated plan that spans multiple agencies to discourage banks from dealing with crypto firms. It applies to both traditional banks who would serve crypto clients and crypto-first firms aiming to get bank charters. It includes the administration of itself, influential members of Congress, the Fed, the FDIC, the OCC, and the DOJ. Here's a recap of notable events concerning banks and the policy establishment in recent weeks. First, of course, there's the infamous infamous Warren bill that I mentioned earlier. There is Signature Bank, among the most active banks serving crypto clients, announced its intent to have deposits. And this, remember the Swift announcement that came out of Binance, right? All of these things. It's a coincidence, but you start to see a bunch of events, and then it starts to, you know, you're like, okay, this is definitely a pattern here. Goes on to say, the Fed, the FDIC, and the OCC released a joint statement on the risk to banking engaging with crypto, not explicitly banning banks' ability to hold crypto or deal with crypto clients, but strongly discouraging them doing so on a safety and sound basis. Metropolitan Commercial Bank, Silvergate, stock falls to a low of $11.55 on a bank run and insolvency fears. Binance announces that due to the policy at Signature Bank, they will only process user fiat transactions worth more than $100,000. The Federal Reserve denies crypto bank Custodia 2-year application to become a member of the Federal Reserve System. The Kansas City branch denies Custodia's application for a master account. The Fed also issues a policy statement that discourages banks from holding crypto assets. The National Economic Council releases a policy statement not explicitly banning banks from serving crypto clients, but strongly discouraging banks from transacting with crypto assets. The DOJ's fraud unit announces an investigation into Silvergate. Binance suspends USD bank transfers. The January 27th Fed statement is entered into the Federal Register, turning the policy statement into a final rule with no congressional review. Progreto and Paxos applications to follow Anchorage and obtain full approval to become a national trust bank are still outstanding. So in some banks taking deposits from crypto clients, issuing stable coins, engaging in crypto custody, or seeking to hold crypto as principal have faced nothing short of an onslaught from regulators in recent weeks. And this is something that we've picked up on, actually, Opti. We were like, what's going on here? This is, you know, it starts to become a thing. We're like, this is more than a coincidence. Right. It's like one thing is one thing, but it's like Binance, the Custodia Bank. The Custodia Bank denial came on the same day that the Biden administration released another memo on crypto. And of course, it came out on a Friday. Right. They love to release negative news on Friday, so it dies over the weekend. So it's a bunch of stuff. Now, of course, you know, Simply Bitcoin, we're a media company. You know, of course, this affects us. But Nick, as a mining pool operator, you know, this is definitely troubling. You know, how do you feel about this in particular?
Yeah, so we've seen, I mean, in the past, so we, as a, you know, crypto, a Bitcoin-based company, we have struggled with banking throughout our entire, tenure. And it's just going to get harder. We have great relationships with our banking partners today. But who knows where that goes? If they start getting pressure from the top, that could definitely become a problem. And whether we like it or not, you need to have on-ramps and off-ramps because people need to get paid. A lot of people need to get paid in fiat because that's how you pay your mortgage and buy groceries. So, ultimately it will put a major strain on our ecosystem if that is the case and it does happen to come that way. From a few examples, we basically got shuttered from Chase Bank a long time ago, back in like 2018, just one day, we got a letter in the mail and a check that said, hey, here's your bank account's been closed. Here's your money, go somewhere else. And that was, kind of a struggle. We had Mercury, do the same. And that was after we had, raised capital and were, like a real like large company at that time. We were doing significant volume there. And so, yeah, they're definitely, it's always been a struggle, and I'm worried that it will become more of a struggle. So if you are a Bitcoin founder, definitely reach out to me and we can chat about kind of what we've used as a strategy for, keeping the on and off ramps available. But yeah, this is certainly concerning from an operations perspective. It's a huge headache. If you've ever had it happen to you, it becomes a major headache. But yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at.
So do you believe that this might force Bitcoin companies overseas?
Hard to say. I wouldn't say that we're there yet. It certainly could. I mean, if they start doing this, like imagine Coinbase, whether we like it or not, you know, they're a crypto company, not, you know, but imagine they, yeah, everybody I know, that's not like a hardcore Bitcoiner or, you know, even crypto person uses Coinbase for their, you know, for their portfolio of whatever. But if that starts to become like, if it really becomes a hard on and off ramp for them, like the average person, needs to have those on and off ramps. So that's, you know, that's really the bottom line. Somebody said I need a better mic. So let me pull that over. Actually, I do have a better mic. So give me 1 sec.
There we go. We're in business. Jaron, what are your thoughts on this, man?
I think long term, this could force businesses out of the US and also out of Europe, because I know European banks are also extremely aggressive with KYC, probably even more than the American banks. And it will just lead to more crypto companies setting up operations in countries with lesser regulations of the banking sector. And that's fine. But the problem is that Americans are often prevented from being serviced by these overseas companies. So, of course, it can be a big problem. But the kind of good news about this is that, or to see it from a little bit more positive angle, is that it's not only the crypto sector or Bitcoin which experiences increasingly stricter KYC. A lot of other industries experience it. And I've been talking to several, like completely the average Joe on the street, who is like angry at the bank because of some KYC problems. They can't access their account for some reason. They made one transaction which looks a little bit suspicious, and then the bank closes their transaction. And this just makes it easier to make people understand the value of Bitcoin. For example, My grandfather, who's like 80 years old, and he has some problems with getting access to his bank accounts, like a lot of old people have. And banks are just making it harder and harder for normal people too, not only Bitcoiners. So I believe long term, this will just, by the banking sector going completely crazy with all this KYC and AML, it will just lead them to cannibalize themselves long term. So I'm not that worried long term about this.
Yeah, but I agree. I think long term doesn't worry me. I think Bitcoin is inevitable. Bitcoin's going to win. But what does keep me up at night a little bit is the transition. And what I see here is like, and it's nefarious because it's not open. It's not that they're doing these things openly. It's not like they're getting, you know, Congress's approval. It's not like they're having a political debate. It's they're all kind of doing this cloak and dagger thing, which I think is fascinating. But clearly, you know, I think that this is going to become even more difficult because the reality is that they do control the system. It is really, it does function like a cartel. You heard it at the very end, right, where the Fed introduced these new rules and the new rules didn't have to go through congressional approval, right? So it is kind of like, and I think that's really the way that we should be seeing this is like we are dealing with a money cartel. And obviously that money cartel wants to keep power, right? Which I think is, you know, human nature. So this isn't surprising at all. Now, I don't know where this is going to go. The end of the article goes on to say that apparently a lot of Bitcoin and shitcoin entrepreneurs are waiting until a more friendly administration, which I mean, like, look, I think that nation states and countries definitely had a judicial advantage before Bitcoin, but Bitcoin lives on cyberspace. It doesn't adhere to, you know, meat space borders and whatnot. So I think that if the US continues down this, you know, this business hostile or Bitcoin hostile type of stance, I think it just, you know, it's really the US that stands to lose. I think that a lot of these companies could just go overseas. I don't see, and this has already happened, like with a lot of the shitcoin exchanges, they've already done just that. Right. So, Nick, what are your thoughts on that? Are you in tune with what's going on? Is there something that, you know, that you recommend people to look into? What are you just kind of like, you know, ignoring this and, you know, hoping that things are just going to work themselves out?
Well, hope it isn't a strategy, first of all. But I do hope that this, mic is better. But in this case, I would say that I am hoping a bit. So, I wish I had more for you on this one. Usually have pretty try to give strong opinions, especially when you get me on Simply Bitcoin, which is, a very bombastic show, but I don't have any right now. Maybe Yarn does. Yarn, what do you got?
I'm also very optimistic about things generally. I usually don't worry about things like this, but I think in the long term, of course, Bitcoin is going to survive everything like this. But it can create problems for Americans. And all of you are Americans. I'm not an American, but I'm a Norwegian. I'm from Europe, and maybe they will also go after me. Who knows? But it can create some problems for a lot of Bitcoiners. But we just have to work through it.
So let's put it this way: Bitcoin's going to win. I'm not worried about that in any way. It just matters, you know, is it going to be, you know, I don't want to be 80 when it happens. I prefer it happen a little sooner. And I certainly think they can make it, they can slow it down a lot, but like we all know, it's inevitable at this point. The time chain cannot be stopped and will continue forever. Long past my lifetime and probably the lifetime of humanity, as long as, you know, the earth stays, the way it is now, and it isn't consumed by the sun, or we're at least off the planet by then, Bitcoin will continue to run. There's no way to stop it at this point.
Yeah, of course. And I completely agree. You definitely can't stop the honey badger, but hey man, that doesn't mean they're not going to try. Nick, if push comes to shove, would you be willing to pack up and move to the new land of the free, El Salvador?
I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, I'd have to talk to my wife about that one. I'm sure she has some opinion on that one. There is a lot to life, and, you know, doing business is one of them, but, you know, living near your family is also really important. So I don't know if I'd ever do that, but, you know, there may be a case for definitely offshoring parts of the business, especially as they make it more and more difficult. And, my hope is that we don't get to that point, that the, you know, governments start to see that as they put pressure on businesses naturally tend to pop up elsewhere. And, you know, imagine FTX didn't happen. Like, imagine like the real, like FTX was a real exchange, and, you know, we got to see an American build an exchange and it became one of the biggest businesses in the world. And then it had to be offshored because the United States wouldn't let it operate here reasonably. That would be a terrible story. I mean, obviously it ended up going the other way, but there are going to be examples where in the future that happens, where businesses aren't built in the US because of the regulatory environment. And ultimately we lose out, you know, as a country, the United States loses out as a country on all of the revenue that comes along with allowing business to be done, inside these borders.
100%. I completely agree with that statement. Opti, you want to chime in before we get to talk about mining and ordinals?
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously this is not about pollution. It's kind of something we've been talking about for a minute here on the show. Like, we are very, very much in the then they fight you stage. And the on and off ramps are chokeholds. I think as any Bitcoiner with a brain still can see that is where they're going to try to clamp down, if they're smart, is by stopping people from buying Bitcoin on these regulated exchanges. And we're not just seeing this in the US, we're seeing this happen all around the world. And I'm with Nick, man. I really do hope that America figures this shit out and, you know, like, works with Bitcoin versus trying to ban Bitcoin. Because we say it all the time, you know, like, you can't ban yourself from, or you can't ban Bitcoin, you can only ban yourself from Bitcoin. And so if the people in power still care about the citizenry that they're supposed to be working for, then they should be aligning themselves with Bitcoin, because Bitcoin helps humanity and Bitcoin is, you know, a force of good versus a force of evil, like they try to paint it as. And then, you know, on the flip side, this will just push people to peer-to-peer solutions. Like, it will just force the Bitcoin circular economy. And so, again, you know, we say it all the time, like, everything's good for Bitcoin. And I think I saw Marty Bent say, like, we should just kind of lean into this. Like, yeah, U.S. government, like, ban Bitcoin, and then just we'll have a war out there. We'll have a real life experiment showing that you can't stop Bitcoin. You know, China tried to stop Bitcoin, and it didn't happen. And the Bitcoin circular economy will just grow, and people will start using Bitcoin peer to peer. And Bitcoin will just route around this. So again, you know, obviously, we joke about moving to El Salvador. I don't want to move to El Salvador. I would much rather be a Bitcoiner in America. I love America. I love my family. I'd like to see them again versus having them go down to El Salvador with us. But I don't know. My one question is, like, is this just talking about, like, crypto businesses like shitcoin casinos, or, you know, like,
it's the whole industry, the whole thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, back to this whole idea of, like, trying to separate Bitcoin from the shitcoin.
I don't think it matters. I know, but
it makes it just like the shitcoiners make us all look bad.
No, of course. The shitcoiner blowups is the ammunition for politicians, right? And, like, yep. It's interesting because they waited to deny Caitlin Long's bank. FTX had to have blown up. And then that's when Senator Elizabeth Warren jumped on it. That's when they denied the custodial banks. Like, they needed the justification. They needed the excuse. But it is a shadow war, you know, and it's something that, Opti, we picked up on this. Like, we started noticing patterns. We're like, what is going on here? Something smells fishy. But no, Nick Carter wrote a great piece and just outlining, like, look, this isn't just coincidences. This isn't just, you know, this is actually happening. You know, so but look, at the end of the day, this is a separation of money and state. What did you expect? Anyways, everybody, let's talk about mining. Let's talk about ordinals. Let's get to the culture. Let's do this.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today. All right, everybody, before we start the culture, I want to give a shout out to the awesome Bitcoin conferences that Opti and I will be at this year. Definitely don't want to miss Bitcoin 2023. You can take advantage of the promo code Simply, get a big discount. Also, check out Unconfiscatable. It's going to be a Bitcoin conference in Las Vegas, Nevada, December 7th through the 8th. It's also a poker tournament. Speaker list includes Tone Vase, Jimmy Song, Adam Back, and many, many more. And of course, BitBlock Boom. You definitely don't want to miss it. And you can take advantage of the promo code all caps Simply Bitcoin. Get a big discount on BitBlock Boom. Love. I hope to see a lot of you guys there. BitBlock Boom is August 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 2023. It's not a shitcoin or blockchain event. They talk about Bitcoin, and more Bitcoin. Anyways, guys, we hope to see a lot of you guys in the flesh at those conferences. Anyways, Opti, I'm excited for this, bro. What are we going to talk about today?
All right. Well, all the rage right now is ordinals. And so couldn't have picked a better guest to talk about ordinals. As you guys can see right here, we got this CoinDesk article about the, as they put it in their tweet, a massive 3.94 megabyte Bitcoin NFT was minted by Udi using ordinals and mined by Luxor team in the largest Bitcoin block ever mined. So maybe we can just first and foremost, Nick, I know you've been going pretty hard on ordinals lately on Twitter, so maybe you can talk about ordinals in your opinion, and then also, you know, what the thinking was behind this massive 3.94 megabyte.
Yeah, block. I mean, well, CoinDesk, I don't know why they're spreading FUD. It was 3.96 megabytes, but, you know, damn it, give me all the megabytes that I can get. No, so anyway, this came around. This is literally 7 days old, right? This whole thing, like, we've gone from zero inscription, well, maybe 100 inscriptions to like 40,000 in 7 days. It's insanity. So we'll start with that. What kicked this off was there was somebody that's been working on something called ordinal theory, which is the idea that you can like number individual Satoshis. There's 2.1 billion, you know, quadrillion Satoshis. You can individually number them and identify them specifically using a numbering scheme. This has been around for a long time, way before all of this, this mania and hype and everything. The idea, and it was done by Casey Rodimore, is the guy's name. Brilliant dev. And anyway, he was also a Bitcoin Core dev. This idea has been around for a long time. Even, you know, back to the Genesis block, like the first Satoshi of the Genesis block is considered the mythic Satoshi, the rarest ordinal there is. And then there's like other ones that are considered rare, like, you know, the first Satoshi of any block or the first Satoshi of a difficulty epoch, that sort of thing. Anyway, that's the idea behind ordinals. And then there's this thing came along called inscriptions. So an inscription is where you can actually take some extra data and assign it to an ordinal. And then the ownership of the inscription, the extra data, can be delivered via transacting the ordinal, which is just a UTXO. That's where the catalyst moment was. And so immediately I had a group reach out to us about, hey, they were like, hey, we're pretty sure it's technically possible to build a transaction that is 4 megabytes. Like, it will be accepted by the network. And I was like, I don't know if that's true. So I went and looked at Bitcoin Core code and was like, yeah, it pretty damn sure it will. And so we started like putting together the transaction. And that's kind of the genesis. That's where it happened. And so we put it in, you know, we put it in the block, and that was really the start of ordinal / inscription mania. And now it's absolutely pandemonium out there in ordinal land. So hopefully that gives you like a really like brief high level overview of like where we were, how we got where we are, and like what the status of things are today. Like, yeah, we're just about to eclipse 40,000 ordinals. And we were at 30,000 about 6 hours ago when I went to bed.
No, yeah, I think that was a great high level view of it. And then I think we'll give you the hard hitting question that probably every one of our listeners wants to know. Is ordinals an attack, or is ordinals a boon to Bitcoin miners, or is it a nothing burger?
Now that is really the question. As of right now, I am not sure. Jimmy Song seems to think that it's an attack. You mentioned he's going to be playing poker. Hopefully I can get heads up against him and we'll have a little discussion about it. But yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting. I've always been a proponent of, if the protocol allows it, then it's valid Bitcoin. Like, that's Bitcoin. I mean, that's what happens. Like, when I kind of relate this back to when they were trying to do OFAC blocks, like Marathon was trying to mine OFAC blocks. Not a good idea from a profitability perspective. You're losing out on valuable transactions, but the protocol allows you to select the transactions that you want. And with that, I was okay with it. I mean, I prefer they didn't, but I was okay with it. In this case, sort of in the same vein, the protocol allows it. And now we're seeing some really interesting market dynamics take effect, where literally every block is completely full and miners are making more than they've made in a long time. And the transaction fee volume is, like, we basically set a floor now for transaction fee volume. And I'm wondering if we've accidentally, like, if by adding Taproot and making this possible, we accidentally solved the security budget problem that has been looming for Bitcoin. And this could be, you know, one of the greatest things to ever happen to Bitcoin. The caveat to that is that what happens if, you know, we start to fill up every block with random JPEGs, and now we're, you know, it takes way longer to sync the, you know, do an initial blockchain download and all of that. I don't know. The answer is I don't know. I'm pretty excited about it because I think, like, as a miner, like, I was really looking at this through a mining lens initially, you know, thinking about, wow, this is going to really set the base floor, the floor for my company and my customers' profitability. But now it's turning into something much more. Yarn, you want to chat about like the economics at all of this? I know I've been talking a lot, but it is really been top of mind for me.
Oh, Nick, just to continue, you're on fire here.
All right. Well, yeah, we've seen, it's crazy. So maybe, what can I answer? I feel like I've given a bit.
Okay. Hold on a second. Hold on. Opti, I'm interjecting.
Yeah. Jump in.
Okay. So Nick, we saw, not to name any names, but we saw very predominant Bitcoiners feel a certain way about ordinals. They were saying that potentially, you know, censor some transactions that had to do with ordinals. You, as a mining pool operator, both you guys, represent Luxor represents about, I think it's like 7% of the Bitcoin hash rate last time I checked. So theoretically you could censor, but I mean, isn't that anti-Bitcoin? What are your thoughts on that as a miner?
Really hard to say, man. Can you repeat the question for me?
No worries, no worries. So a lot of Bitcoiners were calling for the censorship of ordinals, right? Very predominant Bitcoiners, not to name any names. What are your thoughts on that? Because you are a mining pool operator, so therefore you do have the ability to pick and choose what transactions are included in the block.
There you go. Okay, understood. So what you're talking about, and I'll name it, is Luke Dash Jr., Luke Dasher, whatever they call him. He put out a patch that you can apply to, you build into your Bitcoin node. You have to be able to build Bitcoin D, which obviously not a lot of people are going to do. But you can build that into your home node or your node, and it will trim or it'll keep those transactions from coming into your mempool. They'll still be in your blocks that are mined by pools, but it'll keep them from coming into your mempool. Okay, so that's what we're talking about, is this patch that keeps, it's basically filtering that data from your mempool, so it won't be in there. We got there, you know, we had folks ask us, maxis that were really angry about this happening. They said, why don't you run the patch? Well, the answer is, I can't. If I don't run the patch, if I run the patch, my pool immediately becomes less profitable than all of the other pools. And so and they said, well, you know, you're then attacking Bitcoin. And I said, well, then in that case, everybody's attacking Bitcoin. All of the other pools are doing it. You know, I'm really the only pool operator and, you know, CEO out there talking about this right now. But none of them are going to run the patch. I can guarantee you that, because they will be leaving a lot of data, of Satoshis on the table for not only themselves, but for their customers. So in that way, we're somewhat bound by the network here to not run the patch, be economically incentivized, which is, you know, miners at the end of the day, they're ruthlessly profit driven. Doesn't matter what happens, they're ruthlessly profit driven. In fact, that's the reason that Marathon decided they didn't want to do those OFAC filtered blocks anymore, is because they knew they were going to be missing out on too much fee volume. So they ended up, you know, getting rid of that. The market rewarded them for it, and now they're, you know, one of the largest miners, and they're, you know, they have the highest market cap for it. Really, what I'm saying is, if we censor our own blockchain or our own mempool without others doing the same, we're at a huge economic disadvantage, and we'd effectively be altruistically removing this from the mempool. And then also, the very next block that we don't mine is going to have that data in it anyway. So with that in mind, that's kind of where we're at. Like, we're very handcuffed into holding and running this, into running, you know, the vanilla Bitcoin without the patch. So hopefully that answers your question. It's very black and white to me. I know it doesn't require much nuance.
It totally does. But I really appreciate you explaining it, Nick, because I think that a lot of people don't have the position. You're seeing it from the vantage point of, look, this doesn't make sense to me because the incentives are not aligned. This isn't economical for me to do this. I'm not thinking it from an ideological perspective, which I think a lot of people from a position that you are not in personally, right? They're not looking at it that way. They're looking at it totally from an ideological perspective. So very, very valuable. I really appreciate that answer. And I think it's fascinating. And I think that answers and closes a lot of things. So, but why do you think, and of course, like, this is a personal opinion, why do you think that a lot of the fears was that Ordinals was somehow going to fill up a lot of the Bitcoin blocks? Are those fears misguided? Are they overblown? My perspective is, the fee market is going to do its thing and take care of that, right? This has happened in Bitcoin before. There's something called Bitcoin Satoshi's Dice or something like that, and it just got priced out eventually. Is this the same case here?
Yeah. So really interesting phenomenon. This is really, really interesting, and I have a lot to say about it. So when you mentioned like Satoshi Dice, yes, that's a great example where at that time, you know, there was not a lot of, like, that was very early on in Bitcoin's life, and people would, you know, they were spamming, you know, very small transactions, basically winning effectively dust at the time. But it's very similar. When economic activity on chain picked up, Satoshi Dice rolls went down. And so that's what's going to happen here. we're starting to see like the way these dynamics play out in the mempool and the block and the transactions that are included. Financial transactions are much more valuable to mining pools. They are you pay four times more fee. And so what we see is when we see a very long block, meaning there's a block that say 30 or 40 minutes, instead those blocks include almost exclusively financial transactions because they end up pushing the ordinals out of the mempool because the ordinals don't pay as much VSAT per byte. Or sat per VByte. And so that's really interesting. And that really gives me a lot of hope that we do see this more as a baseload or a floor for fee volume or for transaction volume and fees, as opposed to taking up mempool space and just becoming a JPEG chain. And then one other point that I wanted to make about blockchain bloat and all of that was when we added Taproot, whether we knew what this involved, we agreed to 4 megabyte blocks. That's what we agreed to. Like if these were all financial transactions, say every single person in the world is using Bitcoin to send money and Lightning channels are being opened and closed hundreds of thousands of times a day, we would still see 4 megabyte blocks. And that's what we signed up for. When I was proposing Taproot, I was a proponent for Taproot because of the privacy and efficiency gains that you get from it, and then also a lot more of the really interesting like scriptability. You get better wallet support, like different functionality, more complex wallet configurations. All of those things I was a very big proponent of, and so when we decided to introduce Taproot, like we agreed to 4 megabyte blocks. Now people are just upset about what's in those 4 megabyte blocks.
But would you say that was an unintended consequence? That was something that people did 100%, not foresee?
100%. They were not like, okay, we're going to put Taproot, we're going to add this Taproot thing. It's going to allow us to write very complex, much more complex multi-sig wallets, vaults, time locks, all the cool like wallet and financial transaction functionality that we wanted to see. But now we're putting, punks and JPEGs and whatever in there. So, that is an unintended consequence. And that is something like one of my key takeaways from this is that changes to Bitcoin have just become 10 times, if not 100 times more difficult because the scrutiny necessary for these changes needs to be, we need to understand that we're changing money, like the most fundamental aspect of economic prosperity and for the world and all of history. So this is like really important. And so when we make changes to Bitcoin, we need to think about it with that level of scrutiny. And I think that this event will cause that. I do think this hardens Bitcoin, makes it better long-term. I don't think 4 megabyte blocks are that bad. Maybe right now people think like when you scroll Instagram, bro, you open up Instagram, you're going to use 250 megabytes right there. So there you go. There's your entire day's worth of block data. So let's go. Like I think that we're going to be okay. I think as long as we stay at 4 megabytes, we're going to be okay. And a lot of people are asking about prunability. There's a lot of debate around whether you can prune here. But even Pierre Richard, I think yesterday tweeted that you can, if you assume valid at some certain height. You can prune all of the data, all of the witness data prior to that. So unless you're doing a full sync, like if you're doing a full sync, you may need to include that data, but it doesn't need to be included forever if you have like some assumed valid. And that's just witness data. It's not like the rest of the transaction data. So you still get a full verification.
Makes sense. Anyway. Makes sense. Fascinating. Well, really appreciate it. I think, it's very unique because, again, there's very few people that are in your guys' positions. You guys are working at one of the largest Bitcoin mining pools in the world, and you're seeing it from the mining perspective, from the mining vantage point. And I think that definitely cleared up a lot of misconceptions that people had as it relates to ordinals. By the way, guys, we are doing a Twitter Spaces. So if you have any questions that we didn't hit, go to the Simply Bitcoin account on Twitter and you'll be able to find us and just join the spaces. And then we'll be holding the spaces until 2 p.m. And it is your chance to ask Jaren or Nick any questions directly to them.
Anyways, I have to really apologize to Yaren because we brought him on to talk about way more. Well,
we can do that. We can do that in the Twitter spaces. Yeah,
don't worry.
Bitcoin and energy, like Bitcoin and energy, drastically more important than JPEGs on the blockchain. but yes, but unfortunately, JPEGs on the blockchain, very controversial topic. Where I believe everyone, we all somewhat
agree. It's the current thing.
Anyone wants to talk about nowadays. Yes, because of the format of the show, we're a little bit constrained. I'm sorry, Yaren. I really apologize. But we will pick it up again on Twitter Spaces. But before we do that, we got the meme review, everybody. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
Everyone's still loving the meme review from yesterday. We're still getting trolled. Anyways, this is your favorite portion of the show, guys, the meme review, where we review your memes. So continue to tag us on Twitter and we will get your memes on the show, or drop them in our Telegram group and we'll get your memes on the show. But of course, drop your meme review score in the chat. We will cover them live, as we say all the time. Tweet to the bullet, meme to the artillery. Continue to meme, continue to put your hat in the ring. This is an information war, and we need to continuously push that signal, that Bitcoin signal, the truth signal, as I like to call it, every day, all day, as many memes as possible, like blocks in a day. Anyways, first one by 21JCLP, Bitcoin or nothing, hashtag Bitcoin 24/7. And we got Bitcoin or nothing. I think this is like Archangel Michael or Gabriel over here battling the forces of evil that is the fiat system with laser eyes, and Bitcoin will overcome it all. Next one. Shouts out to Greg Zaj Uno or Greg Zaj One. And this one's hilarious. He's got this experienced hodler with laser eyes. It looks like he might be a living dead soldier here, walking through the swamp of shitcoinery and fiat worlds. And he's got a rubber ducky around him. So the experience holder with the rubber ducky floaty, and the floaty is memes. And we got little duckies behind us following the no coiners and pre coiners. This is us trying to infiltrate the normie world through our memes. All right, this next one. Shouts out to Pleb Signal BTC. And this is more of a screenshot, but I really like the meme he created together. It's a picture of our screenshot from the Truman Show, Jim Carrey movie. And he goes, hashtag Bitcoin is the way out. And if you've seen the Truman Show, then you know this scene where he escapes the Truman Show. Bitcoin is the way out, guys. Bitcoin is the exit from the fiat clown world. And then, of course, Nico, we got this one from yesterday's show. If you don't get this reference, you can watch yesterday's show. Shouts out to our boy Copernicus' son, 6, on Twitter. And he goes, spicy show today. And we got Nico from the thumbnail with his laser eyes. Nico, hey you. Yeah, you. I'm an educator who propagates master narratives of Bitcoin truth. Let's go. Okay, this next one. Shouts out to Mastermind USA. And he goes, fight fifth generational warfare with fifth generational warfare. And we got this samurai Pepe in the sunset with the samurai sword. And it goes, we are fighting a $1 trillion propaganda machine with memes. This is what we're doing here every day, day in, day out. This is what you guys are doing on Twitter. You are fighting a propaganda war with the memes. Anyways, this next one, shouts out to goes to Becca. Shouts out to Becca. She goes, good morning. And there's this silverback gorilla sitting there with his hand in his head in his palm. And he's just thinking, I don't have enough Bitcoin. This is what we're all thinking right now as Bitcoin price starts to move off the bottom. And this last one, I literally just saw this as my feed was blowing up. So shouts out to Cypher Hoodlum. And he goes, I think this is what all us Bitcoiners out here, all us plebs out here just stacking sats are thinking. We got a fight over here in a restaurant. We got ordinals good, ordinals bad. And then it's just me stacking their sats while they're distracted. This is the way it continue to stack. Oh, man. It's beautiful being a Bitcoiner. It is beautiful. Anyways, my meme review score, drop it in the chat and we'll cover it live. Oh, I know what it is. My meme review score for today, this might be a Simply Bitcoin exclusive. It is this half burnt sage that I use to cleanse my areas.
What are you up to, man?
Weird all shit. Kinds of things. All kinds of things. If you know, you know.
I'm going to give it this roasted seaweed snack. Yeah.
Wait, what are you doing?
Eating some seaweed, bro. Anyways, Yaren, what would you give those memes?
Jared, Nick, meme review scores.
Oh,
what?
Hang
on. One. How about this? This is the Celsius bankruptcy documents. I don't know why they sent them to me, but here we go.
Oh, man.
They sent them to me overnight. And yeah, there you go. There's all of them. I'm guessing they just have some intern sitting in a dark room with a printer somewhere, printing out thousands and thousands of pages. yeah, I like Yaren's meme way better.
Oh man, well this is some good scores. The dog and the Celsius bankruptcy documents. Anyways, guys,
that thing is huge.
It's huge, man. Anyways, guys, before we read your scores, I want to give a shout out to our clothing sponsor. Opti and I wear the merch every single day. I'm wearing the Simply Bitcoin merch. It's sold out basically, but the shirts and hats are still available. Opti's wearing the hat. Take advantage of the promo code simply-bitcoin. Get a 10% discount. Anything on the representltd.com store score. Anyways, Opti, let's do three or four.
Okay, well, I got this one. First one.
Rave Elevator. I give the memes one Nigerian bank run line, 500 deep. Next one.
Sheesh.
We got Matt Fry. I rate the memes one cry harder money, JPEG, stacking sats. I got two more, Opti. Rope rating the memes an orange tarantula. And last one before the buzzer. We got Nico Jones, PhD, the P stands for propagandist. The score, today's propaganda, in the gulag camps, we become the chosen people. Oh, man. That's Jesus. Okay. Anyways, everybody, thanks for joining us. Another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. I want to give a shout out to our guests. Jaren, Nick, where can people find you? What are you guys working on nowadays? Which is an obvious question.
Go ahead, Jaren.
You can find me at J Mellerud on Twitter or at Hashrate Index. Just follow. Publish a lot of research on Bitcoin mining.
Awesome. What about you, Nick? Where can people find you?
At @Hash_Bender on Twitter. Also at Luxor Tech Team. If you want to come yell at us about JPEGs or talk about energy and the fundamental underpinnings of our economic system. Happy to discuss all of these things. Prefer talking about energy, but any ordinals are the topic of the day. So let's go. Those are where you can find us. Appreciate the time today, guys.
Thank you guys so much for coming on Simply Bitcoin Live. Guys, the party does continue. We are hosting a spaces with our friends over at swanbitcoin.com. Best place to stack sats built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. Shout out producer Jacob. Yeah, so we're going to be hosting a space with these two gentlemen. If you have any questions as it relates to ordinals, mining and energy, I'm going to focus on that for Yaren. I feel bad. So we're going to focus on mining and energy. Definitely jump in there, get up in the audience, ask these gentlemen questions all you want as it relates to mining. It's going to be awesome. Love you guys. We will see you tomorrow for another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.